For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Sheriff Vic Regalado will be running for re-election. Recently, he stopped by the KRMG Morning Show to talk about the sheriff's department and his re-election bid.
Let's take some time first to find out how he got to be sheriff.
Sheriff Vic Regalado's career in law enforcement began in Tulsa in 1994. That's when he was hired by the Tulsa Police Department as a patrol officer. By the time he retired from the department, he'd moved up to sergeant, and he was running the organized gang unit. In November 2015, Sheriff Stanley Gland stepped down after the Eric Harris-Bob Bates incident. Regalado won two special elections, then a general election to take over the department.
I'm feeling good. This is the fourth election that we've gone through. It's kind of surreal, but I'm grateful.
He quickly went to work to bring back luster to a department tainted by the Harris-Bates program. He did bring back the Reserve Deputy program, but with much higher training standards. He also took over operation of the jail commissary, leading to a significant windfall for a department needing the money. But it hasn't all been easy. His office was accused of religious discrimination when it stopped a woman wearing a hijab from entering the courthouse when a clip in her hair holding that hijab on set off the metal detector.
If you enter the courthouse with something on your body that sets off the metal detector, we need to make sure that you're not carrying a weapon.
There were also questions about fundraising during the election when a significant portion of the money he raised came from a business outside Tulsa County. Then more of a firestorm when former Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby was allowed to do a course at the sheriff's office on surviving officer-involved shootings. Shelby shot and killed Terrence Crutcher during a traffic stop, but she was acquitted by a jury of first-degree manslaughter. The sheriff defending the decision by pointing out they were only allowing the space to teach the class, not presenting it themselves, and no one involved was being paid. Regalado's already held some fundraising events in anticipation of running again in 2020.
Sheriff Vic Regalado joins us live in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Let's work backward chronologically. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that it's been 3 years that you've been in office already. It seems like just yesterday that all those special elections happened. But let's start with something recent. How are your deputies and staff recovering from all the flooding? They put in a lot of extra hours protecting properties in Sand Springs. Have you guys recovered from the flooding?
We have. We're moving forward. We're still dealing with a lot of that. But at the end of the day, we remember that the people who were affected by the floods, many of them lost everything. And so when you think it's you're getting tired or you've been working overtime like crazy, I think that they have done a good job remembering that the people they're serving right now have suffered a lot more, and that keeps them going. And I'm extremely proud of the work that that our deputies and really overall the sheriff's office as a whole did during this time, and continue to do so as we go into the recovery process.
Any lessons learned? Anything that you think can be done better next time?
I do. I think that our communication amongst law enforcement agencies as well as our public safety agencies like TEMA could be better. We still have to regroup and talk about everything that happened, how we can get better, and there's always room for improvement. But I think communication was an issue at first. And then, of course, I think we were exposed in terms of our lack of manpower in certain areas. Mm-hmm. But these are things that we hope we can rectify and be ready for the next disaster.
Is that a lack of manpower in general or just for that event?
I think in general. Yeah.
How many more deputies and staff do you need?
It would be nice to have at least in the deputy function where we provide traditional law enforcement services. I'd like to see at least three deputies added to each shift. Hmm. We cover an extremely large area, and you're talking from Leonard to Turley area,
yeah,
West Tulsa, and then of course further east. But that's a lot of land to cover when you are responding to emergency calls for service.
One of the most recent news stories involving the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office involves some new technology. This is a very quick method of testing DNA samples that even a layman can use. You don't have to be a biologist or a DNA expert to run one of these machines that, the way I understand it, can break down a DNA sample in a matter of a couple of hours, as opposed to shipping it off to a lab where it takes maybe a couple of weeks or a couple of months to get results back. Tell us about that technology.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's that technology is known as rapid DNA. And in fact, the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office championed that legislation. And with the assistance of Representative Carol Bush and Senator Dwayne Shaw, we were able to get that through legislation, which was the first of its kind to allow us to use that technology in the jail as well as for investigative purposes. And essentially what it does is it allows us to be more efficient in terms of providing identities. For instance, if we have a natural disaster where, God forbid, we have multiple fatalities and we need identification of those bodies, we can do that through this technology. In the jail, we will now be taking it from individuals who have committed felony crimes, specifically the crimes of a sexual nature, and be able to hopefully close cold case murders, violent crimes like rape.
Rape kits that haven't been processed yet?
There are rape kits that haven't been processed, but there has to be a specific sample. It has to be singled out in order for the rapid DNA to do that. And currently, the ones that have yet to be tested have not been taken in a fashion that rapid DNA could affect that. But what it will do is moving forward, when we start working together with our SANE nurses and law enforcement agencies and we start taking those samples moving forward, what it'll do is it make us more efficient so that we don't have a backlog again to the fashion that we do now.
Is this a lot less expensive than shipping it off to the lab, or is it more expensive?
What's I think right now that it probably breaks even, if not a little less expensive. But what it does is makes us more efficient. And I think when you start talking about the ability to solve a rape case within a couple hours through DNA identification, I think that's extremely important to remember that this is about the victims, about providing closure for them, as well as resolving criminal cases.
Other law enforcement agencies they're clearing a lot of cases with this technology, aren't they?
They absolutely are. Utah has seen a significant increase in closures of cold case murders, which is, absolutely unbelievable. And I think overall, criminal justice system has to embrace technology. It can be scary because it is. It's new things popping up, but at the same time, we have to look at it and see, does it have a positive effect on the people that we serve? And if it does, I think we need to embrace it.
All right, let's rewind back now to 2016 when you came to office. It was a sheriff's department, I think it's fair to characterize it as in turmoil, following the resignation of Sheriff Glanz, following the whole, as Rick outlined, the whole Bob Bates, Eric Harris affair. What was your assessment of the sheriff's department when you came in, and how much progress do you think you've made in addressing whatever problems you saw by now?
Obviously, I think that most everybody or the majority of Tulsa County knows the issues that were occurring at the time. But what they didn't know is that behind closed doors, there was a significant amount of problems that existed. You know, things from the morale of the employees, records management, policies and procedures, all the things that most people don't think about on a day-to-day basis but are extremely important in a law enforcement agency, they were all in disarray. Mm-hmm. So there was the one positive was the people that were there are dedicated servants. They kind of got lost in this shuffle and forgotten about. And I knew that these were overall great people, dedicated public servants. And so there was a good foundation in which to start to rebuild the sheriff's office. And I will tell you that in the short 3.5 years, we've exceeded even the expectations that I had in terms of where we would be at this point in time. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing.
When you say rebuild, it was ground up. I mean, as you mentioned just there, it was not just that. It was also with some of your personnel. Some of the higher ranking folks were gone. Did you want to replace people? You know, coaches will sometimes say, I want a guy who's got Division I experience. Mm-hmm. Did you want people with experience in your department? Did you just want good people? How did you go out replacing your high ranking folks?
Well, when I came in, of course, I had to evaluate the people that were there and ensure that they had the ability to do the jobs that I needed them to do. And so that evaluation process, you know, continues today. But what they've done is they've stepped up to the plate. The people that were there, they stepped up to the plate. I have a couple of great majors that, you know, had just achieved that rank as I came in because of all the resignations and firings and what have you. And they really stepped to the up to the plate. But I think more importantly, the people that I brought with me. And it's critical that you bring not only talented people, but that you put them in the right spots. And, you know, I brought over George Brown as an undersheriff, Casey Roebuck as a PIO director, Brad Johnson as a CFO, to complement the talented CFO that was already in place and Christina Morrison. You know, so there was just a significant amount of talent that just needed to be cultivated and allowed to do their job. And thus far, they've been able to do that.
Outside your department, how are relations with the Tulsa City of Tulsa and the Tulsa police right now?
You know, I think they're good. I think that there's always been, and having come from the Tulsa Police Department, I can tell you that from the ground level, from the troop level, there was always a mutual respect because we're all in the same game and we all have the same purpose.
The tension was over the jail most of the time.
Tension
right?
was over the jail. And as many people know, the city made a decision to split and, you know, and that's their decision. We moved forward, and it was a difficult time at first, but I think that we've come out pretty good. And I think in time, you know, that's an issue that will come up again, and hopefully we can come to a decision that is beneficial to the citizens of Tulsa. And I think that's the most important part.
What's the financial impact been?
The financial impact for us was about $500,000. We had to stand up our own warrants unit. Didn't necessarily come from the jail, but more so when we worked together with the city in terms of warrants management and all those things. We had to stand up our own unit with our own employees. And that was about $500,000 price tag. We've done it. We've been successful at it. And the jail's in great shape financially, as well as the sheriff's office, which is, you know, amazing considering that in jail supplement alone, the county was giving about $3.6 million to the jail just to run it. Really what it boils down to is the message coming in was just do your job. Mm. And when you make it simple and you simplify things, I think that, in my opinion, they seem to work better. The communication, the message is clearer. And so that's what we did coming in was just, hey, do your job and things are going to be fine. And I think they have thus far.
How is enforcing laws in unincorporated parts of Tulsa County different than enforcing laws if you're a city police officer? You have been both. You were in the TPD. Now you're running a sheriff's department. What's different?
I think it's significantly different. I think the culture's slightly different than answering calls in the city as opposed to the rural areas. You really have to know your geography when you are a deputy because you're you're traveling on roads called like Coyote Trail or Katy Trail. And, you know, it was new to me from a geography standpoint. But at the end of the day, the traditional law enforcement services are the same. You know, you're helping people. You're solving problems. But what's different is that obviously the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office, we run the jail. We also provide the security at the courthouse. And I think probably one of the biggest differences is that we enforce civil law. Which that was somewhat foreign to me as a city police officer.
Explain.
And, you know, we serve violation protective orders.
Evictions,
things like that. And we're the only law enforcement agency that has that ability in the county. So that's a significant difference. And then, of course, the jail. We run the jail, and that is a gigantic operation and a very difficult one. And for the detention officers that do an outstanding job, they are really not recognized as much as they should. They're the forgotten spoke of the criminal justice wheel. They really are.
In Texas, there was a lot of vice that would establish itself just outside city limits in unincorporated parts of counties down there. Do you see the same thing here, massage parlors, brothels, that kind of thing, trying to establish itself in the county as opposed to in the cities?
Not really. I mean, we have obviously we have criminals that are that do understand jurisdictions and as well as manpower. And some have tried to set up shop from in terms of narcotic sales and things like that. But, you know, we do a good job of staying on top of it. And we work in good partnership with the city of Tulsa. We really do, as well as other municipalities. I think at the end of the day, we all have to remember we have the same goal, and that is law enforcement and the safety of our citizens. So I think that, you know, we've really done a good job of patrolling those rural areas that are sometimes forgotten about, and providing the safety that those citizens who live in those areas deserve.
All right, so let's clear up a couple other things. One of them is going to be really simple, and it's probably as much for me as anything else, because I always forget. A deputy can be an officer, but an officer can't be a deputy, or the other way around.
Well, no, I think they both can do that. I think if an officer wants to be a deputy, they certainly can come over.
I mean, the title.
Yeah, I mean, you come over, you're a deputy, but that's just a title. You know, you have officers typically for municipalities, deputies for the counties, but at the same time.
Yeah, we get corrected.
Same job.
Anytime we call one of your people an officer,
deputies. We get corrected. No, we're deputies, and we're the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office.
So that's what I'm saying. We can't call you. You're not.
We prefer to be called by our names, and that's deputies.
All right.
And,
I got
sheriff. Yep.
All right. Secondly, you know, people will see this and we'll hear it. You know, you're listening to the scanner one night, you're here in the morning, and it's TPD and deputies and OHP are all chasing somebody. Mm-hmm. And people wonder, where does jurisdiction start and stop, and who knows who's in the lead, and how does it work?
Well, you know, our jurisdiction is countywide, which encompasses the city of Tulsa. So we have the authority to enforce law throughout the city, which is in the county. However, city officers cannot go into the county without proper jurisdiction. And, you know, and that's just another example of how we work together. We've crossed commissions quite a few Tulsa police officers that now through that commission have the ability to go into the county and do what they need to do to enforce the law. So it's a good partnership, but it can get a little tricky sometimes from a jurisdictional standpoint, but we seem to have worked it out and have had very little problems in regards to that.
All right,
that.
Come on. I'll be honest. You've been in a scene before where somebody shows up and goes, no, we're in charge. No, we're in charge. No, we're in charge. That happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Oh, it does happen sometimes. You know, I, as a homicide investigator for a long time with Tulsa PD, I've experienced that. But at the end of the day, we end up working it out and we move forward.
Sure.
All right. Sheriff Vic Regalado is our guest. We'll take your comments via open mic and text at 95920. What's the status of the Tulsa County Sheriff's Reserve program right now?
We're up and running. They do an extremely good job in supplementing our services, whether it's at the fair, in patrol, or during the flooding. We had several of them step up to the plate. So we're proud of it. We're not as big as we were. And be quite honest, that's fine by me because the people that we do have are outstanding. But we always accept applications and people who are interested in serving their community with the reserves with Tulsa County. We absolutely encourage you to do that. And I think that they'll find that it's a very rewarding endeavor. And,
is it a tougher screening process than it was before the Bob Bates, Eric Harris incident?
Yes. They have the same screening process as a full-time deputy.
Oh.
Yep. All right. And that's why the people that are there who've gone through the process, they're outstanding. Extremely proud of them.
And we're joined in the studio by Sheriff Vic Regalado. You're already raising money for the next campaign, aren't you?
I am. It's you know, it's a year away, and it's never too early to start. It's probably my least favorite thing to do, but it's a necessary part of the job. And
well, you do it pretty well. I think you outraised your competitor in the last campaign by I don't know, 4-1, something like that. You had like a $155,000 campaign war chest, pretty stout for a county sheriff's race.
It was a weird deal, but with four elections, you know, that 150 did not last very long. Mm-hmm. And it was contentious elections. I mean, to be honest with you, there was a lot of people running and again, with four of them, it was I feel like a veteran politician already, and I've only been in office 3.5 years. But from a campaign standpoint, I'm not sure there's been that many out there that have had that many elections.
Sheriff Vic Regalado. Special thanks to KRMG's Dan Potter and Rick Corey for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.